Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So far as from the text. In Christ Jesus, the eternal Word, dear fellow redeemed. Wow. Three services. Back to back to back. For us, that's quite unusual. But not for Duane when he was young, I guess. It's always the 26th of December would have been three services every Christmas season. And not unusual for the early Christians. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And so this morning, as we conclude our 3 days of Christmas celebration and worship, we proclaim that Jesus is the eternal Word. The Apostle John wrote his gospel to a young church that was facing trials, tribulations, troubles, conflicts. The message of the cross, Christ crucified and risen again, was a stumbling block to the unbelieving Jews. And because of it, they hated the Christians and persecuted them. This same message of the cross, Christ crucified and risen again, was foolishness to the unbelieving Romans and Greeks. And because of that, they too hated them and persecuted them. And then top it all off, they had even problems within. There were false teachings that grew up within Christianity that attacked the very person of Jesus. One such false teaching was called Gnosticism. The Gnostics believed that everything that was made of matter was sinful. Only the Spirit was holy. And therefore they believed that God could not have created a sinful world. Then they applied it to Jesus' life and they said, well, Jesus can't be both God and man. He's either just true God and then appeared as a phantom, not really flesh and blood, or he was really flesh and blood and then couldn't have been true God. And that destroyed the whole person of Jesus. His divinity and his humanity combined in one person. And so one of the reasons that John wrote his gospel was to defend the teaching of the deity and humanity of Jesus Christ against such Gnostic teachings. And so he says very clearly throughout his gospel, Jesus is true God, who existed before the world was ever created. He was involved in the world's creation, and he became a real human being, lived on this earth, which he created. In fact, he was so much like a human being that people who saw him didn't believe that he was God. John wrote some 60 years after Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. He begins his gospel in the very same way that Moses began the Bible, the first book of Genesis, in the beginning. But Moses began in the beginning and he went further into time. John begins in the beginning and goes back into the incomprehensible eternity. In our text this morning, John tells us something that we can never reason out with our understanding. We can never truly comprehend, but we must just simply accept through faith. And that is, Jesus
is the eternal Word. The first three verses make that very clear to us. We read again, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." Every word in these five phrases that make up these three verses is so very important. We'll briefly look at each of the phrases. The first phrase is this: in the beginning was the Word. Notice John doesn't say in the beginning came the Word, or in the beginning the Word came into existence. The Word already existed in the beginning, before the world began, before time began. The Word was already there. And then we hear from verse 3, it was the Word itself that created time, the world, and everything in it. Second phrase is a little more information about this Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was in close communion and fellowship, together with God, inseparable with the Father. But the Word is not the Father. This phrase clearly signifies a distinction, a separate personality. It's like snow falling together with rain. Different types of precipitation falling together. The third phrase shows the relationship of the Word with God. And the Word was God. Separate and distinct from the Father in person, but one in essence. A separate personality, yet one in kind, one in origin. Again, like the snow and the rain. When it's snowing and rain at the same time, a snowflake is not a raindrop, nor is a raindrop a snowflake. But they both come from the same source. Water vapor in the sky. The Word is true God. The Word is not a God. The Word is God. The Word was a God, like you and I are all sons of God. Then Jesus' perfect life, His suffering and death, would not apply to all of us sinners. And the fourth phrase, He was in the beginning with God. There's this restating of this distinction between the persons of the Godhead. It's not just a repetition, for John is saying that the eternal existence of the Word was contemporaneous. That means it was at the same time. One wasn't before the other or after the other. The Word and God existed together simultaneously from eternity. And finally, the fifth phrase, third verse, John writes, "All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." When God spoke in creation, it was the Word that spoke. The Word that said, "Let there be," and suddenly there was heavenly things, there was angels, plants, animals. There's nothing, not one thing, not one little thing that came into this existence outside of the Word, without the Word. And so we see our first point again is the Word was God. These five phrases again show the Word existed from eternity before creation, declares the personal distinction of the Word with the Father, but declares also the essential unity of the Word together with the Godhead. It states that both the Word and God were existing at the same time, not one before the other, but simultaneously. And finally declares the Word created all things. Now, if John would have stopped there and wouldn't have said any more about this Word, we'd still be wondering, is it just the Bible? The Word's written? Well, John told us clearly who this Word is. In verse 14, he writes, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That leads us to the second point. The Word became flesh. This Word is none other, as you know, than the Son of God. Become flesh and blood, like us, in the person of Jesus Christ. His incarnation, coming in the flesh, took place when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and planted into the Virgin Mary's womb. This Mysteries of Mysteries that we discussed during our Advent series is so simply spoken of by John with these words: the Word became flesh. Well, the angel said it this way to Mary: the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is reborn will be called the Son of God. As we heard in our readings, the angel also said to Joseph in his dream: Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Such simple words for such a profound, incomprehensible fact. God, the Word, became like you and me, a human being, without flesh and blood, yet without sin. Yet he remained God. Because John says, his glory was that of the only begotten Son of God. He remained the Word, but became what he was not before, a human being, subject to all the things of this life, with a body, with a soul, human feelings, emotions. Yet again, he was not sinful. With these words, he dwelt among us, they literally mean he pitched his tent among us, which means Jesus is not going to live on this earth forever. It was only a temporary dwelling, living in a tent. He lived here for 33 years, but during that time he accomplished our salvation for us. He lived that perfect life for you. He died upon the cross to pay for the guilt and punishment of every one of our sins, made restitution for our sins. His permanent dwelling place would be in the hearts of his children, his believers, here in time and forever in the eternity of heaven. Matthew in chapter 1, after he tells Joseph that Mary would conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, he also goes on: now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God the Word became flesh like us, dwelt among us, true God, yet true man, the God-man Jesus Christ, subject to the same time, space, and needs as all of us, yet he was perfect. Awesome, amazing, beyond our understanding. The glory of his Godhead wasn't seen when he looked at Jesus. We mentioned that this morning in our Bible class. But it was seen by John. It was seen by the disciples in his actions, in his miracles. He healed the sick, the diseased, walked on water, changed water into wine, fed 5,000, if not more, people with a few loaves of bread and some fish. He even raised the dead. He knew people's thoughts. And one day, his clothes even glowed as bright as the sun when he peeled back his humanity and showed his Godhead in his transfiguration. So the Word became flesh. And finally, the Word is full of grace and truth. These past 2 days, you have received presents, no doubt from your parents, your grandparents, brothers and sisters, your children, your husband, your wife, your friends. And every one of those presents that you opened, you really were opening the love of the giver of those presents. That's how we show love to each other. We show our love to each other by buying or making a gift or a memento that we give to our loved ones. In the same way, only yet far greater, infinitely greater than our gifts, God the Father wanted to give us his love in visible form. So he took the Word of love and grace and forgiveness and pardon and peace, and wrapped it up in the form of a human person, human flesh and blood, a baby, placed it in a manger, and gave it as a gift to you and to me. Every baby is a precious gift. But this baby is God's love, the word of love, grace, forgiveness, wrapped up in human flesh and blood, the most precious gift, the greatest gift ever given to mankind. God was manifested, God appeared in human flesh. God wrapped up this message of his undeserved love for mankind in the person of his Son, the Word, sent his Son down from heaven to this earth to show to mankind his great love for us and to also show his will. And whoever believes in him, in his Son Jesus Christ, shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's why our preparation for Christmas during this past month of Advent was so important. That's why our Christmas celebrations and our worship these past three nights and days was so extremely important. And that's why this post-Christmas message this morning is also so important for every one of us to realize that that baby in the cradle, in the manger, on that Christmas Eve, was God, the Word, in human flesh and blood, for you and for me. Born of the Virgin, the Lord, the Savior, the King of life. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Come see in the manger our Savior and King. To Bethlehem hasten with joyful accord. Oh, come, let's adore him. Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in the Word, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.